I don't want to rain on their parade.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is season 2, episode 18, A Perfect Wedding. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listener. We're thrilled you're here. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's coming up on our Patreon. Again with this bonus episode 215, dropping November 8th, is kicking off our holiday coverage. In November, we're doing Thanksgivings, and it's going to be on November 8th. Let's watch Courtney Thorne Smith in a Thanksgiving episode of According to Jim. We will see if our friendship survives this one. This is a show I've never, ever watched in my life, and none of the streaming services cares about it because we had to find it on what Jenny Garth and Amy Sugarman called the dark web, what the rest of us call Daily Motion. But it's season 2, episode 9, Thanksgiving Confidential.
Are you guys not subscribers to BelushiNet?
It's Belushi Plus, first of all. Get right.
Well, if you have money, it's Belushi Plus.
That's true.
Belux.
Anyway, for all of that and so very much more, including ad-free versions of this podcast, access to our Discord server, all of the bonus episode archives, join us at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Any level gets you all of that. All right, let's get into it. We really just have one storyline yet again. Guys, you'll never guess what, despite the episode title, the wedding might not actually be totally perfect.
What?
I know. It's like that show, The Perfect Couple. They're not a perfect couple either. Spoiler. Once again, we are made to watch the end of Dawson's stupid movie, this time as he screens it in reality, not a nightmare, for Gail, who calls it impressive, moving, funny, and real. Dawson scoffs that she's just saying that because she's his mother, but she insists he's incredibly talented. He says she's incredibly biased, but adds that he had such a clear vision for the movie. He feels like he failed to translate it to film. What if he can't bring his visions for the future to life either? Awkward segue, but all right, fine. The secret is not to let any minor setback derail his vision, she says. Dawson realizes he could re-edit the movie, and Gail seizes on that idea maybe a little too readily, adding that it's not Citizen Kane, but it's not Bride of Chucky either. Dawson brings up Miss Kennedy's comments mopily, but Gail says that's just one person's opinion. But speaking of teachers, how's Mitch doing in his new job? Dawson says he seems to like it and that it's weird to see him there. Dawson guesses Gail really misses Mitch, and she inappropriately says she really does lately. Dawson thinks that if she really knows what she wants, she should take her own advice, and she gives that a maybe. The next day, Mike, Joey's dad, is making breakfast as Joey shyly loiters in the doorway. She thought she was going to wake up and see that last night was just a dream, but he's never going anywhere again. Bessie bustles in with Alexander, the baby, talking about their catering business and how much that will help with all their money problems, explaining to Joey that while she was sleeping, Bessie and Mike arrange to cater her friend Pam's wedding that weekend. She asks if Joey can get some of her friends to work as servers. Joey says she can before asking whether upscale catering is a good idea for a business that makes cheeseburgers. Great point. Bessie insists that with Mike's help, they'll be fine, and he adds that it's his job to worry for the family now, and Joey looks overcome as she hugs him. And just remember that speech in a few episodes, that's all I'm going to say about that guy and his plans for looking after the family.
Yeah. This also gave me some timeline questions. Like, the previous episode was the fair.
Right.
So that all happened on a very long Sunday, and now it's a school day, right?
Yeah. Sure.
When are we? Mega weekend? I don't know.
So cut to school, where Joey has apparently just finished catching Jack up on recent events. He guesses that she must be thrilled having Mike back, but she babbles that she feels like she's been hit by a bus, but a happy bus. Jack can tell something's wrong, perhaps because she just likened her exciting news to a vehicle accident, and she reluctantly admits that she couldn't sleep. She can't just pick up with her dad where she left off, and now the catering job's going to put the whole family in contact with Capeside's Blue Bloods, and she's worried about Mike reemerging in such a high-profile way. Jack agrees that the catering plan is too much too soon and that she should deal with Mike one-on-one before they try to involve the public. But Joey saw how excited Bessie was this morning, doesn't want to shit on their plans, so Jack will be there. And that's all happened outside. Inside the school, Dawson tells Pacey about his plans to re-edit the movie, but all I can focus on is that Dawson's sweater almost fits in this scene. You can see in the visual aids.
Yeah, it's this random hallway scene setting things up is also like a real tease for appropriately fitted clothing and a world in which there isn't a rotting crab attached to the front of Dawson's head.
It's true.
Tear.
Pacey just shrugs because he, like the rest of us, doesn't care. But then it's time for Dawson to complain about something else as he spots Mitch and Miss Kennedy together in the office. And Pacey is basically like, well, she is hot. But before they can get into that, Jack comes to ask them to help on Saturday. Clip two.
Hey, $60 for the day.
Sold. For $60, I'd cater your ass.
Well, that won't be necessary.
Every now and then, Kerr Smith has a line delivery that's like, I don't even know. Like, I think nobody's really paying that close attention to him. And yeah, he really sells it. Well done.
Yeah. Also, no one needs to cater that ass. It doesn't need the help. Last time I checked, from what I could make out in the giant pants. As Sarah said, Dawson does look approximately 1 million times better with his hair, like, still swiped back from him stress swiping it in an off-screen moment. It's not going to last, but still, he has follow-up questions for Jack. Clip three.
Are the ISIS kidding weddings now?
Yeah, Mr. Potter's brainchild.
Mr. Potter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was... Oh, Joey's dad got paroled yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, he's back home.
Wow.
Well, and was he paroled?
We assume.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, I know what ends up happening later. I just wonder, like, were we supposed to ask any questions about this or not really?
Yeah.
Probably not really.
Mm-hmm. Also, give the man another take or an ADR on the beginning of that line, because that was like, the Ice House is catering weddings now. It's like, yes, this is Kedda. Like it's just a bunch of syllables that don't sound like words, really.
Mm, yeah.
In the ladies' room, Jen finds Abby in the bathroom straightening out her full drag look. And if you think I am exaggerating, go to the visual aids because it is Waylon Flowers and Madam Hours up in the shit.
Oh my God.
It's so
it
crazy.
Absolutely is. Yeah. Like what we would have worn to Don Hills for drag night back in the day. Like. Jen, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same scene where she has the, like, iridescent trench?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What are we doing during the day
at
school?
Mm-hmm. This is not the place for this much marabou. I'm sorry.
I'm going to stitch that on a pillow.
Abby thought they weren't speaking since Dawson's movie wrapped and Jen had no further use for her. But Jen then changes her mind about whatever she was going to talk to Abby about until her bluff has been called. Abby chases after Jen, asking what's up. Jen says she woke up frustrated and tense. Abby laughs, but Jen is being serious. She feels like she's going berserk. Abby brings up a study of rats in isolation, gnawing off their own feet. Jen is that rat, capesides the box they're in. Jen says she's tried changing her image, but if no one's going to accept it, what's the point? The best time she's had this year with Abby. And she wonders, what do rats do for fun on the weekend? Abby says rats can always sniff out something. And then someone shelled out for Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer, because it's zooming us back to the very latest late 90s as Pacey pitches Andy on working the wedding so they can pool their pay and take a road trip to New York, which like $120 is what you're going to have to pay for parking. So I don't know how much fun you're going to have.
Yeah.
Just basically what Abby says about his idea of getting them dinner, a Broadway show, and a carriage ride in the park. So Pacey genially suggests they just do something here in town. Andy claims to hate weddings, which no one believes, starting with Pacey, saying they can't possibly be too sentimental for someone who cried at a Nike commercial yesterday. Andy says marriage is antiquated and couples who want to stay together should do so by choice. Pacey notes that she's never been to a wedding with him, and if she comes on Saturday and still doesn't believe in weddings by the time it's over, he'll let her keep all the money. And Andy does now want to buy the Nikes she just found out about in that commercial, so a bargain is struck. At the ice house, Joey stops coughing long enough to tell Mike he may have overdone it on the horseradish. It's a strong flavor for catering, but go off, I guess. Mike sees Dawson walking in behind her and says he thought for sure Joey and Dawson would be together when he got out. And he also asks Joey what happened when Dawson's like a yard away. And obviously Joey can't answer. So social skills need a little polish. But then he greets Dawson with what else? A handshake. It's the handshake season and pleasantries are exchanged. So Mike tells Dawson he looks good. Dawson doesn't say it back. So congratulations, Dawson. Your small talk skills are worse than those of a person recently released from prison. Mike takes off to redo his dish, and Joey tells Dawson about the wedding. Dawson says he already told Jack he would work it. Mike tells Dawson to give his parents his best, but Dawson says Mike can do it himself. They'll be at the wedding. Mike leaves, and clip four.
Wow, so your dad is back. This is incredible. How long have you known?
Total surprise.
It's got to be a lot to deal with. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay?
I mean, I was kind of on an emotional overload this morning, but I ran into Jack, and with this typically intuitive insight, he was able to calm me down.
Great.
I was looking for you, but then I had to cut school early to come here to help out.
You could have just been like, I was on an emotional roller coaster this morning, it's a lot, and then just leave the whole intuitive insight, which I don't buy, from Jack out of it. And then I was looking for you, like, why? So that you could be guilted about not calling him immediately and made to feel like shit because he's a bad friend?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I expected this confrontation to be leading towards, like Dawson being like, so you talk to Jack first, but he, after this, just shrugs agreeably. And then the silence is so long that Joey makes Dawson taste the dish that was just making her eyes water. But as she's spooning it out, a couple of nearby bitches' voices carry to them. Clip five.
After what he did to their mother, he was cheating on her. Well, that poor woman was dying of cancer. I don't think he should ever be allowed back into Cape Side. I mean, he's a drug dealer, for goodness sake.
Keep your voice down.
Well, that's Cape Side for you.
You know, I gotta get back into the kitchen, but thank you for helping out this week. I really appreciate it.
Are you... Joey...
He's a drug dealer.
He's a drug dealer. Listen, Magnolia, if I know one thing about the Potters, it's that they're not from Massachusetts. What the fuck? Get whoever did the JFK voice from Clone High to do the ADR for these people, please. It's driving me nuts. I can't believe he's dealing all those wicked drugs. Like, guys, it's not that hard. Or just be in North Carolina. I don't know.
Truly. Then it's the wedding. We are in the kitchen at the Athenaeum, the reception venue, as Joey gives her team orders and no one says yes, chef, because it's the past and they haven't watched The Bear yet. Bessie has her hair done up like a manager, but unfortunately it's 1999, so it looks crazy anyway. You can see it in the visual aids. One of the loops is so big, you can see daylight through it.
Yep.
It's a lot. Joey begs her to say they'll get through this. Bessie tells her to breathe, but Joey says she doesn't have time. She's moving on to her next task when Dawson stops her to talk about the women at the ice house. Bitch, that was yesterday. She's got shit to do today. Or it was 4 days ago, as Sarah said. Unclear. Some number of days ago. Joey basically says she can't care about it and that such things are bound to happen when your father is a notorious drug dealer. Dawson boo-boo kitties that he's worried about her, and she very quickly says she's fine. The 120 wedding guests she has to feed are the only thing on her mind. A little small for a blue blood wedding, if you ask me, but sure.
Yeah. So the Athenaeum would have their own staff and the catering wouldn't fall through. And also this just wouldn't fall through because it would be the season basically by now. Mm-hmm. When are we? Like, we're close to May sweeps, right? So
But clearly based on how everyone's dressing, it's winter. So unclear when we are. On the floor, Gail asks if Dawson has seen Mitch because she's decided to take Dawson's advice and get Mitch back. Given how well Dawson's resolution to get Joey back is going, I guess good luck. But Dawson is psyched and tells her she looks beautiful, which she does. She's in strappy silver, looks great with her tan. But then Dawson and Gale both see Mitch enter with his date, Miss Kennedy, and Dawson looks back at Gale with the wind knocked out of her and spills the glass of wine on his tray because you get what you pay for. And elsewhere, Pacey and Andy wheel a wedding cake into the dining room. Pacey goes on about how romantic it all is, but Andy remains unmoved and doesn't plan to watch the ceremony even when Pacey says she can do it from his lap. He wishes he had money like these people because in his family, when someone gets married, you end up wearing polyester, having fish sticks for dinner, and closing the night with a drunken brawl. Andy says, this wedding may look perfect, but underneath the surface is estrangement, despair, and dysfunction. What? At least the widow's imperfection is real. She adds that the McPhees looked perfect even as they were falling apart. And when Pacey jokes about her dark mood, Andy reminds him that she said she didn't want to come. True. That it would put her in a bad mood. But he forced her to anyway, and now he'll have to deal with the consequences. And while she's talking, she flails an arm out dramatically. And for the second time in three episodes, a cake is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
She knocks a layer onto the floor, and Joey walks up just in time to witness this with horror, then resignation, which you can see in the visual aids where it's like, well, of course she did.
Yeah, but also her. Like,
yeah.
I can see Pacey flapping an arm without regard to what's around and knocking it over, but there's absolutely no way, even if she hates weddings, that Andy is not hyper aware of where the cake is. And is she, like, I just didn't buy that. That it would be her.
Right. Especially since they spent all that time establishing that Jack is the clumsy one. Like, figure out how to make him do it. She's got to fix it for him.
Yeah.
Then Dawson opens a back room to find Pam, the bride, folded into a chair, crying that she thinks she's having a heart attack. Dawson offers to go get someone, but she just needs him to help open the window because she can't get married. He asks why, but she sinks onto the floor, blubbering that she wants to die. She doesn't know if she loves the groom. And what if she marries him and it's the biggest mistake of her life? And Dawson is no help. Over to Graham's house, Jen and Abby are dancing in Jen's room until Abby flops onto the bed and says she's bored. You can see in the visual aids, one of these two is committed to this extremely corny moment, and the other one is Michelle Williams. Just, like, really marking it in a very half-assed way. Like, it's dumb, but sell it. Come on. This is what the money is for.
Yeah. You're going to play Gwen Verdon. Give us something. Anything.
And Sally Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
Jen is determined to have a blast tonight, no matter what. Abby says they need the three B's, booze, boys, and then she can't think of a third. She asks what Dawson and his loser friends are doing tonight. Jen tells her about the wedding no one thought to invite her to. Abby ignores the part about Jen getting shoved out of the inner circle to muse that the reception will have free booze and older guys in tuxedos, so they should go crash and spite Dawson et al. At the ceremony, all the bridesmaids have somehow made it to the altar already. People are looking at their watches, yet somehow only Dawson and no one who knows her is talking to the bride about what is keeping her. Like, this is not what would happen. Her mother or a bridesmaid would at least be looking for her, which no one is. One way or another, she has to make a decision, Dawson says. Then Jack's in the hall and Dawson brings him up to speed. Jack offers to talk to the bride, but Dawson doesn't think he'll be any help. And he's right, because when he opens the door again, Pam is gone. But they do hear a toilet flush. In the kitchen, Joey babbles to Bessie about everything that's going wrong. Bessie tells her to stay calm. Everything's going to be fine. But Joey's past that point. Clip six.
Oh, Jack was right. I mean, Bessie, we have enough to deal with now that Dad's back without taking on this wedding. I mean, we were blinded by the fantasy of just paying off all our debts, and we overlooked the now painfully obvious reality that we have no idea what we're doing.
It's not that bad. Everything's under control. We're just experiencing a few glitches.
A few glitches? Bessie, we are going to ruin this wedding and humiliate ourselves yet again in front of all of Capeside. It's the story of our lives.
No, it's not over yet, and we can do this. And I don't think we should get Dad all worked up about
it. Why not? This was his bright idea in the first place. I mean, he tore our family apart, and he thinks he can just put it back together in a day. Well, he can't.
Of course, that sad music cue was Mike overhearing the end of that and looking real sad.
Yeah.
But sorry that the truth hurts, buddy. Like, what do you want?
Also, unless the booze order fell through, you're probably fine.
Yeah. Right. After the commercial, everyone's getting restless waiting for Pam, yet no one is still trying to find her in her own dressing room, which is where she still is. Hiding in the bathroom as Jack threatens to get her mother. This works, and they hear a click and open the door, but then she's, like, back in the corner, casually sitting on top of the toilet seat. It's at least 2 yards away from the door, so it's like, did she unlock the door and then dart back so they could catch her, like, in this tableau? It's so weird.
I guess. Also, like, just get away from the toilet hinges and everything with your big floofy gown.
Ugh. Yeah. But Sarah, it's the Athenaeum. I'm sure they keep everything in tip-top shape.
I'm sure it's spotless. Yep.
Whatever. Pam just keeps thinking her soulmate could still be out there and she hasn't met him yet. Jack says she could spend her whole life looking for a perfect love and never find it, which just makes her start sobbing again. But Jack explains he just means love isn't perfect. Everyone's flawed, including Pam and her fiancé, who really is, because his name is Alan. No offense to the Alans of our lives, but it's not the most inspiring name. It's not his fault, but, you know. Mm-mm. Should she really walk away from something real for a pipe dream that might not exist? He asks. Jack calmly says she's just having wedding day jitters. It's a wedding tradition. And when she starts walking down the aisle, he bets all her fears will fall away. And then it's the wedding and everything's fine and Jack is right and saved the day. And during the ceremony, Mitch finds Gail and gives her a little smile, which she and her very frosty eyeshadow do not return. Dawson and Joey also exchange a look because I guess they have all the time in the world to watch the wedding and nothing to do in the back for the reception that's about to start. Hello, there's prep work. I haven't even worked in a kitchen and I know that.
Yeah.
Later, Pam finds Jack to thank him for saving her life and give him a little kiss on the cheek. She's so happy. Dawson, after she has gone, says this, clip 7.
So I talked to her for 20 minutes, and she wants to jump out the window.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, probably didn't take 20 minutes either. Probably after like 90 seconds, she was trying to undo that painted shut situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not done. Clip 8.
You come in and in 2 minutes save her marriage. How do you do that?
Well, I train with this Indian shaman that lives up in the woods. I don't know. I guess I just happen to say the right thing.
Sure.
Although, credit, I guess, to the writers for understanding that this is what you have to do with Dawson is just act like you are as clueless about other people as he is.
It's true.
So that he'll feel better, shut the fuck up, and leave you alone?
True. Dawson then decides to make it weird by saying there was a time she used to come to him, and of course he doesn't mean Pam. Jack tells him not to jump to any conclusions about his relationship with Joey based on recent events. Sure. But he's not done either. Clip 9.
Maybe friends with her, but you're her soulmate.
No.
You just told the bride you don't believe in soulmates. I don't believe in perfect love. But I do believe that there are people whose lives are inextricably intertwined. You know, who have a bond that lasts forever, can never be broken. And she needs you now, man. You are the only one that knows her whole history, okay? You are the only one that knows what she's gone through.
I know. It's so frustrating. I keep on reaching out to her, but, you know, between her pride, this wedding, I mean, it's just, I can't connect.
Maybe what she needs is for you to force a connection.
No.
No. What she needs is for you to be a server at this wedding that is very important to her family business and stop fucking around. Whatever Jack means by force a connection, it's something Dawson should not attempt. He's clearly out of his depth.
Yeah. It's also not something Jack, like, blink twice if you're not a hostage. Like, why are we all doing this soulmate shit now? Like, I know why, but barf.
Elsewhere, Pacey is trying and failing to make a passable cake out of crumbs and buttercream. Pam tries to get in and see the cake, but Andy babbles that it's bad luck for a bride to see her wedding cake on an empty stomach because she'll get fat, or so they say. But the only tradition Pam's heard about it is the top layer represents the marriage, so they're supposed to put it in the freezer for good luck and eat it on their first anniversary. And Andy lets her go with an aw, then tells Pacey that's an omen. If the couple breaks up, it'll be their fault. Pacey rightly reminds her he wasn't the one who wrecked the cake. And as Andy babbles on about how wedding days are supposed to be perfect and how sad it is that the little groom is covered in frosting, Pacey stops everything and makes her admit she is a closet wedding romantic. She won't, so he opens the door to show her how close they are to the groom walking in. And finally, Andy cracks and admits Pacey's right. She does love weddings. Duh, we all knew that. In the kitchen, Mike tells Joey they're caught up. And then, uh-oh, Mike somehow caught the Dawson's Creek dialogue virus even when he was miles away in prison. Clip 10.
Joey, when you spend 3 years alone in a prison cell, can make you monstrously self-absorbed. And I never even considered how my presence here would adversely affect you.
And I'm really stressed out. I didn't mean any of those things.
Well, whether you did or didn't, you were completely right. You two have been so strong. And have done so well. And here comes your criminal father coming back to Capeside just to bring you more shame and scandal.
Daddy, you can't expect to come back and have everything be normal again. Things have changed. I think we need to deal with them as a family before we invite in the malignant scrutiny of total strangers.
I'm the father. I'm the one who's supposed to be protecting you against all the harsh realities of the world, and here you are protecting me. Yet again, I'm failing in my parental duties.
Kinda. Sorry.
Yeah.
Weren't really looking after her when you were doing crimes and cheating on her dying mother, dude. Like, stop fishing for apologies or, you know,
yeah,
comfort.
Also, since you apparently were a one-man opioid epidemic wrecking crew, there's a whole bunch of people on the, quote, Cape who would like a word. Anyway.
But wasn't even, I thought it was just weed.
Oh, yeah, for him, I guess it was.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, Joey tells him not to say he's failing, but he just sidles away. And on the floor, Dawson checks on Gail, who demands to know who Mitch's date is. Dawson tells her what we know. Gail has just asked how long Mitch has been seeing this Kennedy when she and Mitch walk over and Mitch makes introductions. It's extremely awkward. Miss Kennedy brightly says it was a lovely wedding, and Gail rudely ignores that, telling Dawson she's going to go find her seat. Dawson pulls Mitch aside as Miss Kennedy makes a face like, yeah, this is pretty much the awful night I was expecting, but at least I got to wear this dress, which you can see in the visual aids.
Yeah. Why are they even there?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. this is a towny girl, I guess, because she's a friend of Bessie's. So maybe they know the family. Okay. But yeah, I have no idea. Doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah.
For contrivance's sake, they are here.
Mm-hmm.
Following Dawson, Mitch says he knows this is awkward, but he didn't know Dawson would be there. Dawson says he knew Gail would be there. Mitch, his voice rising, claims Miss Kennedy's just a colleague and that if Gail has a problem with their relationship, she'll just have to deal with it. He has to live his life. He lowers his voice again to say he doesn't want to put Dawson in the middle, but Dawson says that's exactly what he's doing by dating teachers at his school, and unfortunately, he kind of has a point.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's a small town and Mitch's options for hot single ladies are limited, but still. Like, go to a bar one town over.
Yeah, or they've invented the internet now. Like, you can go, there is match.com, I think. Go on it.
Mm-hmm. So then we see Abby and Jen have crashed and gotten champagne, but Jen is bitching that there aren't any cute guys there. Abby thinks Jen needs a father figure with more sexual experience. Jen is sure they're all married, but Abby suggests that Jen can just graduate from nymphet to homewrecker. And Andy storms up to them just then and tries to kick them out. It doesn't go well since Abby is defiant and Jen is embarrassed. Clip 11.
Jeez, you might want to consider upping the dosage on those mood stabilizers.
The exit is that way.
Okay. Okay, Abby, listen, why don't we just go on down to the boardwalk and we'll come back after dinner when everybody's a little more toasted and not quite so uptight. Come on. For the road. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Forever.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler, in the kitchen, Dawson can tell Joey's been crying. She tells him it's just been a hectic day and she's fine, and then admits she's scared. She finally got her dad back, but what if he hurts her again? She can't keep letting him break her heart. Dawson, the guy who didn't know what an id was 2 episodes ago, decides to try psychoanalyzing her in this long but unfortunately necessary clip. Clip 12.
Look, in the back of your mind, you always kind of felt that as soon as your father got back, everything would be fine. Life would be perfect. I think your father probably felt the same way, too, that as soon as he got back, he could just clean up every mess and right every wrong. But he can't. You two are both suffering under the burden of such impossibly high expectations right now, and all this hurt and pain and anger that you're feeling isn't going to just disappear. And that's okay. I mean, Joey. These past past 3 years, you have been so unbelievably strong. I mean, you've let the petty gossip and judgments of this town roll right off you. Don't let them get to you now. Now is the time to dig in your heels and to show them that you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. And you're not alone in this. You have your father now. You have a family again. And you always have me.
If he can be like this all the time, just let him be like this. Stop making him such a shitbag all the time.
Yeah, seriously. God. This is really nice acting from Katie Holmes in this scene.
Yes.
Obviously, you can't. Like, occasionally you hear a sniffle, but this is mostly Vanderbeek, who's also good here when he's given a chance to not be a self-absorbed dingleberry.
Yes.
But she does have a nice moment with this, especially given that, once again, the writers can't decide how, like, hardened she is to public opinion.
Right.
And how much like a small town of the like pre-television era, never mind the internet, this town would be like. There's this like Mayberry-esque, like, you're dating an actress? Well, right. I never. Like, oh God. Pierced earrings? Bless a heart. Settle, everybody. But yeah, this was a nice moment for the characters and also for the actors.
Yeah, they need to earn something that happens in a couple of scenes after this, and I feel like this gets them there.
Yeah, a lot closer than I would have thought, frankly.
So later, Joey and Mike small talk about how things are going before she asks if he remembers a friend of hers named Melissa Berry. The day he was arrested, Joey was in the bathroom at school and overheard Melissa talking about Mike and laughing that the family lived in a crack house. Dawson came over and cheered her up, and the next day, Joey smiled at Melissa like nothing had happened. Mike is sorry, but that was not Joey's point. People are always going to talk, and Joey's always going to show them they can't crush her. Mike is her dad, and she's proud of him. But projecting strength to the outside world is one thing, but she doesn't want them to be fake with each other. They hug, and it's sweet. She tries to get him out so she can show off her dad to the town, but now he thinks that she was right before, and they should take it slow with the outside world. But she doesn't care about that anymore. There's a celebration going on. He is not ready. And then Pacey is wheeling out the cake, including the top he somehow cobbled together through methods. No idea, but it worked, and I guess that's all that matters.
I kind of wish that there were a scene, like, just randomly dropped in, like, next season at this time, like, after the credits, of them getting it out of the freezer and eating it, and it ends up being, like, a just like a loaf of bread. It's not even cake, or like there's cardboard or like peeps in there that they cut into it and they're like cat food. I don't know.
Or it's a round pillow like in Paper Moon or whatever. Actually, that might not even be in Paper Moon. I might just think that because there was a Simpsons parody of con artists. Anyway. Pam and Alan appear. She's delighted. As Pam feeds Alan a piece, Pacey teases Andy that she must be disgusted by all the sentiment and bogus symbolism, and she tells him to shut up. And then we're on the boardwalk. Oh, no. Jen asks Abby if she thinks she'll ever get married. I can feel this one. She won't. But what Abby actually says is clip 13.
I think that you'll get married.
Married? To some beer swigging, football watching bonus?
Living in some cookie cutter house with two snot nosed little brats and driving carpool, baby.
Grocery shopping,
climbing the walls,
popping Valium.
Suburban nightmare.
You know, I don't think I'll ever be happy. Wherever I am, I always wish I'm someplace else. Whatever I have, I'll always want something different.
I hear ya.
I just don't want to be a cliche.
Or boring.
I just want to drink.
Amen.
Abby falls and hits her head.
Oh, God, that hurt, you bitch.
Abby!
That's Abby falling into the water.
Splash.
Jen screams her name, and when Abby doesn't surface, Jen jumps in after her. And at the wedding, Paisley asks Andy to dance. She admits that he was right. Weddings aren't so bad. But she thinks when they get married, it should be in Venice. Paisley thinks that by the time they're 30, the city will have sunk into the sea. Well, joke's on you. Venice is still going strong, I believe. It still exists anyway. Gail sits at her table, nursing a champagne and glaring at Mitch and Miss Kennedy until Dawson asks her to dance. I am pretty sure all of these alleged servers have work to do, not on the dance floor. But Gail accepts, and Dawson reminds her of what she said about knowing what you want, being tenacious, and not letting anything derail your vision. And she chuckles and thanks him, and also not working. We're 6 for 6. Jack tells Joey she did it. The wedding was a success. Joey's just glad it's over because no money is worth this kind of stress. And then Jack calls her attention to Mike coming out of the kitchen, all cleaned up in a suit. Joey joins them on the dance floor, and when Bessie comes out of the back, she sees them happily swaying, and the camera shows us all the dance partners as though Abby is not outside, literally dying right now. It's so weird when you remember that.
Wild choice on the scene order in this.
Yes! But
they had other things they were trying to do, as we're about to hear.
Yes. So then she returns to Mike as he tells Joey he thinks someone else wants to dance with her right now. Gail welcomes Mike home and the pair's trade partners. Joey thanks Dawson for being her friend, understanding her better than anyone, and putting up with her all their lives. She says she loves him. He loves her too. And then as the song is all, it feels like home to me, they kiss. And like I said, I do feel they kind of earned this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it just because I don't think they have a ton of chemistry comparatively, but the actors and writing did more than you would expect from this show to get it there.
Yep.
So, yay.
No, I don't want them to get back together, but I thought, like, if this is what you're building to, you made it credible that they would
allow it.
Yes, exactly. I'll allow it is a perfect way to put it. I guess that was a nice moment for some, so let's cut from that to Abby's blue face as the body bag gets zipped up around it and Jen stands to the side alone and sobbing. What the fuck, episode?
Wow.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the end, so let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Paisley saved the cake or the moment or kick the can down the road to 1 year from now when they discover the truth, like you said.
Yeah. God. I mean, Jack, I guess?
Mm.
He managed to sort of like mid-husband everyone into the conversations and situations they needed to be in. And he didn't knock over the cake. So for him, that's a pretty good day. Plus, he looked cute.
Very good point. Least valuable player.
Pam's maid of honor. What the fuck, lady?
Yeah. It's a really good point.
Atención.
It's true. Don't be standing on the altar all like, it's so crazy. Where is she? Like, this place is not so big. You know where one place she could be, and that's where she's been the whole time.
Yeah, where you presumably also just were, because you got your own shit to do as the maid of honor.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say all of the... Actually, I'm going to say, just because I agree with you, but to mix it up, Bessie for not running herd on these servers more, because they sure were just fucking around a lot when they were definitely had time to lean.
Yeah, go plate a salad. Come on.
Yes, exactly.
Next time on Again With This... The aftermath of Abby's death kicks off sweeps in fine style as everyone has to confront some long-buried issues. Graham's and Jen's disagreement over matters spiritual, Joey's trauma regarding her mother's death, Gail's vain hope that her marriage can be revived, and, you know, the fact that everyone hated Abby and for actually pretty good reason. Which is how you might feel about the unacceptably gigantic clothes of the era? Find out in our visual aids. check out snaps and GIFs from this and every other episode of the podcast. That's it again with this podcast.com, as well as the entire archive of episodes of Again With This for 90210 and Melrose Place, as well as Dawson's Creek. The whole stash is at againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm malignant scrutinizer Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is doomed cake topper Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And it's our producer, David T. Cole, who just happened to say the right thing. Talk to you next time.
Oh, this is going to be bad.